Thanks, John, for leading us tonight, and good evening, everyone. Good to see you joining with us for our midweek Bible study. We're going to turn to the book of Psalms tonight, and then to the book of Ephesians. Psalm number 4 is our reading, first reading tonight, and we're going to be thinking about Psalm 4, and then we'll turn to Ephesians 4, just for a few verses. So Psalm 4, let's hear the word of God. It's entitled "For the Director of Music with Stringed Instruments, a Psalm of David." Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So just keep your hand in Psalm 4 and turn across to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4 verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something good to share with those in need. Amen. So Ephesians 4 is where we're centering our thoughts tonight. And as we come to this psalm, some people call Psalm 4 an evening psalm. So it's appropriate we're looking at it in an evening meeting. They say that because of verse 8, Psalm 4 verse 8, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And people say this is an evening psalm because in Psalm 3, I think I made this point the last time we were in the Psalms, verse 5, they call a morning psalm because the psalmist says, I lie down and sleep, I wake again because the Lord sustains me. And that's a nice thought, maybe, that they're a pair. Psalm 3 is a morning psalm, Psalm 4 is an evening psalm. And it's maybe a nice thought, you know, that when you wake up in the morning, you read a psalm. Last thing at night before you go to sleep, you read a psalm just to bring yourself close to God. And I thought maybe that's a good idea for us to practice, to keep a closeness to God in our lives. The second thing I want to say by way of introduction to Psalm 4 is its title, For the Director of Music with Stringed Instruments, a Psalm of David, says the New International Version. And again, just to make a very obvious point, it's a psalm that's meant to be sung. For the Director of Music with Stringed Instruments, a Psalm of David. David is saying to the Director of Music in the temple, he is saying, this is a psalm to be sung. And it's the thing that strikes me with this psalm, and as we come through it, you'll maybe get this point. The themes and the theology of this psalm is just so different from what we call psalms, from what we call hymns and spiritual songs. When was the last time you or I sang a modern song that was about people telling lies against us? In all seriousness, you know, we just don't sing songs like that nowadays. And yet this is a psalm that's written, as going to become obvious, by people who are telling lies against David, who's the author of the psalm. And that in itself is a reminder to us, you know, that being a man of God or woman of God doesn't mean that we'll have life easy. There will be times when people are against us and tell lies against us. And that's the occurrence here. That's the occasion that this psalm is being written. And I think so many of modern songs, and Keith Getty is touching on this. If you read the Herald this month, there's an article by Keith Getty. He's touching on this, that so many modern worship songs, they're like escapism. They're not real. They're not dealing with themes that are affecting people in life. And they're not expressing a rugged faith, a faith that will last when the pressure's on and when the pain is coming and whenever people like David has experienced here are on his case. And David is responding to basically a smear campaign against him. Enemies are smearing him, and David is responding to that. And he puts it down in music. I don't know if we would do that. David, of course, is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit. It's also prayer. It's for praying. It's giving you words to say when people are on your case. But it's also a song to be sung, and there's a robust faith here. And not just a kind of a woozy, you know, buzz in your head where you just close your eyes and feel the vibes. You know, it's not that type of faith. It's a rugged, solid, sticking at it no matter what type of faith and persevering through thick and thin. So let's note Psalm 4, and let's begin by noting the context, because the bad things that are happening to David, he sets out in verse 2. How long, O men, he says, he's speaking to men, you group of men, how long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? There's a gang of men who are out to destroy David's reputation. Now, David's reputation is as a man of God. I love that phrase, a man after God's own heart. And I don't know about you, but the desire to be a man after God's own heart, the desire to be a woman after God's own heart, surely ought to be what really marks us out. You know, they can keep their OBEs, they can keep their knighthoods and their damehoods or whatever they call them. Surely the greatest honour is to be known as a man after God's own heart, or a woman after God's own heart. A man of God, a woman of God. And you might never get any earthly preferments, but so what? To be known as a man of God or a woman of God, to have that reputation, it is precious and it's priceless. And every Christian, should aspire to be such a man or woman. And in a sense, you can't aspire to be it. It's just, it's something that, that is... It's a result of godly living over time. And it's a build-up over time. Your reputation as a man or a woman of God, you just don't get it, you know, in a month or in a week. It comes over time. And David is a man of God. But David has people who are out to destroy his reputation. David says in verse 2, how long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Loving delusions could indicates they loved the lies that were being told about David. And seeking false gods can also be translated seek lies. They were inventing lies. They were making up stories about David as well. Now, who these people were, we don't exactly know. But Psalm 3, if we go with that idea of Psalm 3 and Psalm 4 being a pair, the title of Psalm 3 says it's a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. That's the time of the rebellion in David's house. Absalom was his son, and a gathering around Absalom was a gang of supporters. And when David fled Jerusalem, the supporters of Absalom wanted to turn the people of Jerusalem against David. And so they lied about David. They told lies so that the people in the city of Jerusalem would say, that fellow David, we don't want him back around here. He's not what he says he is. And it was nasty, it was deliberate, it was destructive. It's also common, isn't it, that people tell lies to destroy the reputation of others. A husband can tell lies in the family to blacken his wife to other members of the family. An employee, if there's a promotion going in the office, can spread lies in the office so that he gets the promotion and others don't. Or a neighbour in a street can spread lies to win friends for themselves and seem to be important and in the know and destroy someone else's reputation. We're not talking here tonight about things that don't happen in Bandura and Ballymoney and just happen in Jerusalem in the time of Absalom. They're happening now. They're happening today. And David, as I say, is this man of God. He's walking with God. He's got a heart for God. And yet, he's under attack. So the question is then, what's his response? And this is the main thing I want to say tonight. There's two responses because, you know, the temptation sometimes is we fight fire with fire. We go on the offensive. We take out the six shot and we just start firing all around us. David's response, I think in this psalm, I would want to put it into two. There's an involuntary response and there's a voluntary response. The involuntary is just how he reacts as a kind of human being. He says in verse 1, answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. He's distressed. He's dismayed. He's troubled. And, you know, we ought to be dismayed and distressed at sin. If we're not distressed and dismayed by sin, there's something wrong with us. Our conscience isn't sensitive enough. And David is distressed at what is going on. It makes him dismayed. He's also angry, verse 4. He says, in your anger, do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. I don't know if the accusations against that judge in America are true or not, Judge Kavanaugh. But if people made false accusations against you or against me, we'd be angry. I would be angry. And that's normal. Anger is if we don't respond with emotions, we're not human. It's okay to feel distressed. It's okay to feel angry, even if you're a believer. And sometimes maybe there's a bit unrealistic. Sometimes we think we shouldn't react in these ways. But it's natural and it's normal if there's injustice being done to us that we should be angry, that we should be distressed. Because God has given us a capacity to be angry, and anger isn't always wrong. And we're going to see that in a moment or two. Anger is natural, and anger is a reaction, a true reaction of the human heart. So those are the kind of, I think, what I would call involuntary responses. He just, you know, when these things are happening, he just is distressed and he's angry. But then there's a voluntary response. And this is the voluntary response of a mature, godly, spiritual man of God to a smear campaign. And it teaches you and it teaches me when we've got our backs against the wall, well, how should we respond when enemies are setting themselves against us? We don't have to be driven by emotions or guilt feelings or the advice of others and just to do what other people are telling us to do. We can choose how to respond. How do I react to this? The first thing he did was he prayed. Verse 1, answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. We sang it on Sunday. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. But we don't do it sometimes. David took everything to God. He called upon the Lord. When I call to you, O my righteous God. And it's not like God didn't know about what was going on. God knew exactly what was going on. But David talked it over with God and asked for God's help. He told God about it. He went before God, no doubt, on his knees. And he said, Lord, I want to tell you about what's going on. But God already knew, but still, we need to get before God. Prayer is not for God's benefit, it's for our benefit. And it's so humbling that we can't solve the problem ourselves. It's throwing us upon the Lord, and it's an expression of our dependence upon him. The second thing he did was he reminded himself of his standing before God in verse 3. He says, no, and it's like he's saying to these men who are smearing him, he says, you men need to know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Maybe they were saying, you know, the Lord won't hear you. Oh, he says, the Lord will hear me when I call to him because I'm part of the godly, one of the godly. You see, a campaign may be running against him, ranting and raving and smearing of David's reputation. But for all that, it can't change the fact that David is one of the Lord's. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. The word godly there can be translated a covenant one. Alec Mateer makes this point, a covenant one. In other words, we're good at talking about God loves you, but God's love is just not, you know, like an emotion or like a feeling. God's love is a covenant. It's a promise love. There's a promise to it that he has promised to love. It's a very strong love. Covenant is really important in the Bible. And when you're truly one of the godly, you're one of the godly. You can't be prized from the hand of God. And sometimes in affliction, it's really heartening to remind yourself, other people may not want you, but God wants you. Other people may not love you, but God loves you. Because he has promised to. You know, God's feelings don't ebb and flow like the tide on the beach in Portrush. God's feelings are constant. God's love is constant. It's a covenant loving faithfulness. And what could be better than that, as David reminds himself that he's one of the godly. He also mentioned anger earlier on. He is angry, but he does say in verse 4, in your anger, do not sin. Anger is a perfectly natural reaction to injustice. And anger in and of itself is not sinful. Jesus was angry at the money changers. Jesus snorted with rage when he was confronted with the death of Lazarus. But anger becomes sinful when it moves into hatred and revenge and bitterness and grudge and violence. I was thinking about anger. If I handed you a box and I said to you, here's a cardboard box and I want you to carry it outside. Inside it is an unexploded bomb. You would carry it very gingerly. You would be sweating and going slowly and trying not to trip on anything. And I was thinking, you know, is not really the way we should treat anger. Anger is a natural human reaction, but we need to be careful it doesn't explode. In your anger, do not sin. And that's why Paul quotes it in Ephesians 4 that we talked about earlier. He quotes Psalm 4 in Ephesians 4. In your anger, do not sin, he says. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. People often quote that in a marriage. You know, don't go to sleep at night if you fell out with your husband or your wife and you're angry at them. Make it up before you go to sleep. And that's true. But it's just not husbands and wives. It's friends. It's colleagues at work. It's fellow congregational members. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Because you can give the devil a foothold. He can step up onto your life. If you're angry and it's out of control, and we all, as I say, anger can be anger, righteous anger, or it can be very unrighteous anger, but many of us can live with sort of times and anger at some dashed hopes or anger of some frustration or whatever. But David says in verse 4, ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Be silent. Don't go over it over and over and over again. Quieten your heart. Quieten your spirit. Because that's more godly. Not to let the anger like a fuse burn. You know, like a fuse burning on a stick of gelignite. You know, the fuse is just burning along, just waiting for that moment. It's more Christ-like. And that's what David says. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. He also says in verse 5, in terms of this choice of how to respond, he says, keep up your devotions, verse 5. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. The temptation is to shut yourself away. The temptation is not to go to church, for example. The temptation is not to go up the street. But David keeps up the practice of right sacrifices. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. It can be really tough to face people if there's others who are on your case. The temptation is to hide, but routines are critical to holding your life together. Offer right sacrifices. Keep doing what you always do. Keep up the formal attendance at church meetings. Keep practicing normal days. And he says also in terms of how to respond, he says, put your trust in the Lord, verse 5. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. I love this at the end, the last verse. He says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Because a propaganda campaign may be waging against him, all sorts of lies may be doing the rounds on the streets of Jerusalem and round Judea and Palestine. But what could David do about it? Every time a lie was told, he couldn't be there to refute it. Every time people were talking, he couldn't police every conversation that was going on across the county. He couldn't be there to halt the lies. So he just goes to bed, he says in verse 8, and he sleeps in peace, sleeps like a baby, because he's trusting in the Lord. And it even puts a joy in his heart, verse 7, you have filled my heart with greater joy than they have when their grain and new wine abound. A farmer at harvest time, when he's got the harvest in, and the weather forecast says there's storms coming, but he knows the barns are full of the crops, well, he's happy. He's got a contentment. You know, the storms are coming, but everything is good. He's joyful, and he is rejoicing. And David is the same. The enemies, the storm may be blowing outside, but I'm trusting in the Lord. I've got the Lord here with me, and he's resting in the Lord. He's the happiest man, the safest man, the most content man, because he has put his trust in the Lord. And he's encouraging you and me to do exactly the same. The story is told about a man who was known as the world's worst worrier. But he was now cured of his worries. And a friend came to him and he said, "Tom, what's happened to you? You used to be the world's worst worrier. Now you haven't a care in the world. How come?" "I don't have a care in the world," said Tom. "Well, how have you got rid of all your worries?" said his friend. "Well, I've hired a man to worry for me," said Tom. "You did what?" said his friend. "Yes, I've hired a man to worry for me. I've never heard of that before," said his friend. "What's he charging for a job like that?" "Oh, he's charging £500 a day." £500 a day? How are you ever going to find that sort of money? That's his worry. But isn't that what David's saying here? It's the Lord's worry. Cast all your burdens on the Lord, for he cares for you. And the Lord doesn't charge a penny, never mind £500 a day. "I will lie down," isn't that what David says in verse 8? "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." I'm safe. So now as I finish, don't you see why this is a psalm for singing? And for singing in public. For so many suffer, so many have people on their case. But when you've trusted it all to the Lord, his face shines on you. Let verse 6, "the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord." When the Lord's face is beaming down on you, what does it matter if other people are frowning down on you? Because the Lord's face shining on you is worth more than all the false smiles that the world may be directing your way. So Psalm 4, it's short, but there's a lot in it. And it's a great encouragement to us when we're facing difficult days. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm, and we thank you for David's words, and we thank you for his experience and for how he's teaching us, Lord, how to respond whenever people are waging war against us in one way or another. We thank you, Father, for how he chose not to have sinful anger, for how he chose to pray, for how he chose to trust. We thank you, Father, for how he chose to quieten his heart. And we thank you, Father, that he chose not to explode, but, Lord, he lived out his faith in a humble and in a simple way, and he prayed and he committed it all to you. Father, we know that we often get it wrong. We know, Lord, that we need your help every day, Lord. And we pray, Father God, that what we have heard tonight we'll be able to practice, so that, Heavenly Father, we too will be men and women after your own heart. For we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.